Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Geeks of the North, your one-stop shop for hobby in the Great White North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello!
How's it going this week, Antoine?
I'm doing well, you?
It's going okay. I've got a hobby failure going on, but aside from that, things are going okay. I opened my wet palette to find it was full of mold.
Mm.
And I have assembled everything I had ready to assemble, and I'm kind of in an airbrushing stage, and I don't want to airbrush while podcasting, so I'm going to stare longingly at my desk full of miniatures.
So this might be a bit less rambly then.
Well, possibly. I'll be a little bit more focused. At least that's the rumor.
Yeah, it remains to be seen.
Well, I make no promises. I'm a realist.
So, how was your week?
It was good. It was good. Busy. So, without going into the crazy details behind it, I gave up my miniature slash hobby slash junk room this week.
Yeah, mostly junk. Like storage room.
Well, no, not really storage per se. It was too disorganized to be storage. I've been selling off like miniatures for the last couple of years, like surplus miniatures and reducing what I have. And then we had a family member that needed a place to stay. At the end of the month, and at the end of February, and I decided to bite the bullet and offer her the space in my house that I'm currently using as my my junk room. Yeah, so I've been cleaning that, which I'm counting as hobby because I've packed so many miniatures and reorganized so many miniatures, and there's still so much to do. Yeah, kind of that as miniature related stuff.
I'm sure that counts.
Yeah, it's amazing. I found my Reaper medal for ReaperCon, my silver medal.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought I'd given it to my daughter and it just ended up in her toys. Apparently, it ended up in my toys. So, aside from that, I registered for TempleCon. And I don't know if I mentioned this in the cast before, but I may have gone crazy.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
And I booked like tons of events, right? But the thing about booking tons of events is you need to have miniatures to play the events with.
Yeah, the thing about booking tons of events you have never played.
For games I've never played before. Yeah, exactly. So I assembled. So one of the events I booked was Kill Team, and I assembled models for that, and the 40k bug kind of bit me because I assembled the bunch of Primaris Marines and they look so good. And then when I was cleaning, I came across my Adeptus Mechanicus army and it looks so good, and it's so like most of it's painted, at least to a tabletop standard,
yeah,
and based. And I was like, oh, and then I found all my knights I had painted. So, yeah, the 40k bug is kind of bitten me again. I started listening to 40k podcasts again. I was going to go straight out there and say the competitive aspect of the game has zero interest to me because the game is so borked that I can't take it seriously as a competitive game. People play it competitively and people get competitive while playing it. And there's certainly, competitive lists. It's really fun what's most broken and throw as much of it into an army as possible most of the time. At least that's what I seem to see online. There's strategy in the game and all, but it doesn't interest me to play it that way. I like more of a cinematic approach. So I've been kind of planning a new and improved Ultramarine army for myself. Replace all my old Marines with Primaris guys. Maybe scale it down a bit, because I did have like 4,000 points of painted Ultramarines. So we'll just do something a little smaller.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I have the start of a good army. I mean, the vehicles, obviously, there's no primary vehicles aside from that one hover tank thing, which I don't have any of. But I have, I think, 20 intercessors, which is like the attack marine equivalent. I've got 15 of the plasma gun guys. I can't remember the Hellblasters, I think they're called. I've got so the jump pack troops, some of the aggressors, which are like the heavy weapons guys. I've got the New Martius Kalgar. I've got Gulliman.
It's a good list.
Well, it's and I've got two of the Primaris Dreadnoughts as well.
Agree. Some of already the Reavers, the Scouts with the
mask. Yeah, I have only a small unit of those. I have a 5-man box I bought when they launched. So yeah, I've got enough probably to make a decent list there. Plus, I still have my old Ultramarine stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I have a bunch of Predators and Land Raiders, and I have a couple units of Centurions.
Don't you have something like 40 Terminators?
Yeah, I have like 40 painted Terminators. That happened. Maybe 50 painted Terminators. Anyway, I have a lot of painted Ultramarines. So, and giving them the new paint job makes them look a lot better than they used to. I mean, that was my first thing I ever painted was an Ultramarine, and I still have those original Ultramarines, and they are terrible. I pull them out occasionally, show them to my wife. Sorry, it's not the first model I ever painted, but it's the first gaming model I ever painted. I painted some Ralpartha miniatures before that. Back in when I was 12, 13, painted with testers and enamel paints for D&D.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit different, you know. But for gaming, Ultramarines were the first things I painted back in second edition. When they were yellow and blue as opposed to gold and blue. And they're just horrible. Priming miniatures? Why do you prime a miniature? And paint, well, if your paint doesn't cover, you just put it on thicker, right?
Yep.
I mentioned there was yellow, right? Yeah. So, anyway, they're hideous. So it's they're kind of funny. I put them on the table sometimes just for fun. People don't really know what to say. And I've got a bunch of old metal Terminators too, the little itty bitty Terminators.
Yes.
Yeah. I even have some of the Rogue Trader era plastic Marines, the Mark Sixes. That kind of look all bent over like they're going to the toilet. Yes. With the weird rocket launchers that don't look like rocket launchers. So, anyway, all to say, I've been painting some Ultramarines, having fun with it, or assembling some Ultramarines, I guess. 40K is such a fun, fluffy game. And it was the gateway game, right? So I guess I'm feeling nostalgic about it in my old age. Anyway. Aside from that, I assembled a bunch of Arena Rex, and I painted a bunch more. So, they look good. At least I think they look good for the time I spent. I didn't invest a whole lot of time. The blends could be smoother. Their flesh needs to be worked. But I'll rework that later. Some glazing should fix most of it. And a couple touch-ups.
But at least they're totally tabletop ready.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just gonna throw some sand on the base, but even that's really optional considering I painted the bases like a tan color, or a tan color to kind of make it look like they're standing on sand.
Yeah, it didn't show that much when we played.
They look pretty good. Certainly usable. I don't even know if that event has a painting requirement. It may not. Nothing says it does. I'm assuming the kill team does because it's a 40K event, but that's just my assumption. That may not be the case at all. But Primaris kill team is like 6 models or 7 models, so that's maybe less, I don't know.
I think it's less for Primaris.
Well, that's like 16 points each?
Yeah, something that's like probably that. Before equipment and before your leader. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But
so that's like 5 models.
Far better than my Adeptus Mechanicus guy, and mines are 10 and 11 points, so...
Yeah. So I think it's probably like 5 or 6 models max. Probably closer to 5 with equipment. So I'll paint those up quick. That won't take me long. I'll paint 5 intercessors and 5 reavers, and then yeah, that'll be done. And I don't know if I want to paint... I've got a couple of sergeants and like character guys,
mm-hmm.
with like power swords and whatever. And I don't know if I want to paint that up. I don't even know if you can take a power sword. I don't know if it'd be good in
Guild
Team. It seems like it'd probably be overkill.
It might be overkill, but you can take it.
Which means I should.
Yeah, there's going to be other people with power armors.
I suppose that's true. And actually, looking at Kill Team has made me kind of want to get a Genes to their Cult Kill Team together. and not for me, though. So, when I first started playing 40K years and years ago, it was with my friend Ben. And another mutual friend, who's actually one of my next-door neighbors, Alex, played Tyranids back in the day. And he was super into the fluff. Him and Ben really got me hooked on the 40K universe. And then a couple things happened. The game scale increased, right, from 2nd to 3rd to 4th. And he got, he was a Gene Stealer cult player in 2nd edition. And it kind of went away. And he had Tyranids as well, so he started just playing regular Tyranids. He didn't like the way it played. It was too many models. He doesn't like painting. So to paint 150 models, like, it just soul crushed him. So he gave up on the game. And I've tried to... I actually bought him a bunch of Tyranids for 40K at one point, and I offered to paint it all for him. And even with that, he hasn't really had that much interest. But when I start looking through Kill Team, I'm like, you know, a small Gene Stealer cult force... Oh, and I should clarify. He has started playing miniature games again. He's been playing Frostgrave. Because he likes the idea of the small skirmish, small skirmish game. So I was thinking, you know, maybe I could get him a Gene Stealer cult kill team, assemble it, paint it up for him, and then he could play with Ben and I for fun and nostalgia's sake, and he might enjoy it.
He's more into skirmish game now, that's a perfect way to get his...
And he's more into cinematic.
Yeah,
he doesn't care about winning so much. He likes cinematic games.
Yeah,
and I think Kill Team lends itself to that as well.
Yes, it does.
So when he played Tyranids, that was the thing. He always wanted to play like the swarm army, because in his mind, that's what Tyranids are. They're just like thousands of gaunts rushing across a field, eating everything in their way. But when you try to paint, 180 gaunts. It's more than soul crushing, I think.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Especially that was before airbrush too.
Yeah. That's painting all by hand. Just very painful for him. So I think it might be a cool gesture to paint little kill team. It'd be fun to paint. I've looked at the Gene Stealer cult models before. Like I thought about getting some just to paint. I'm like, what am I going to do with them? But in this case, I could have the fun of assembling and painting them, and then I could gift it to someone who may enjoy them. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll see. Aside from that, actually, I think that's about it for my hobby time. Just going back to Arena Rex for a bit, was I working on Arena Rex last week on the show?
Yeah,
I think I was.
We recorded late, so...
Yeah, so I won't go into it too much, then. I think I complained a little bit about Arena Rex last week. I don't want to do a second week of repetitive complaining this. So, Antoine, how about you?
Not that much. We've not recorded that long ago, but still. It's mostly Arena Rex on my side, too, so in preparation for the weekend, I started... working on some of my unassembled model. I got a couple of those, and I got Sula, which is kind of a Julius Caesar lookalike,
right?
Assembled and green stuff. There were some correction to do. There was a gap in the mold slip to correct. So that's been done. And I, right now, that's what I'm working on. Working on the gaps from your lion.
Yeah, that lion. Yeah, I assembled that after the show, so I didn't complain about that one.
Nope.
But man, there were some serious gaps in there. And I tried to dry fit that thing, and I filed and I sanded and scraped, and there was just nothing I could do. It does not line up at all in places.
No. So some parts are good, but there are more bad parts than good parts.
Yeah, well, the back leg went on perfectly with very little gaps. You know, it hardly even shows. But the front, there's just gaps everywhere. Where the head attaches to the body, and the head, it's like a lower piece, a top piece. Sorry. And then,
the snout.
Yeah. Two pieces for the snout, like a top and bottom for that too. And that kind of plugs into the face. And that's just, there's just gaps everywhere where the head meets the body. It's terrible. There's gaps probably 2 millimeters wide in spots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, more than that in the main.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, the main's got an overhang, so from some angles it doesn't look that bad, but it's pretty crazy. I'm glad I know you and that you're kind enough to offer to fix these things. Because I would be just lost trying to do it.
We're going to play with it. I might as well do my part.
Yeah, and speaking of which, we did play with it.
Oh, but I did other stuff, though.
I'll finish so go ahead.
Sure. Having putty out, this week I received, I'll go back a bit. Some weeks ago, I worked on assembling my Empire, Fubarni Empire models for Anyaral.
Yep.
But there was a mispack, and one of the slinger I got had the wrong arms.
Oh.
So I contacted them, but instead of having them ship me a single piece from the UK, I wanted some of the cards to play the game. Just the unit cards, just to make it easier. Check in the book and flip in the multiple places. Just to have it easier when I'm going to try the game. And I wanted just a couple models to complement the starter list I had. So I made a really small order and just asked them to put the mispacked item in it. So it got here this week. So that's what I did tonight, just before we started recording. I cleaned up and assembled all those pieces, those models, and the mispacked slinger too.
So. Yeah. You were their favorite type of customer, Antoine.
Well, they did up my shipping to Express.
That's right, excellent.
Yep. I didn't pay for it, but I had Express with signature that came in this week. Well, at the end of last week. So I didn't expect that. So that's
cool. A nice gesture on their part.
Yep. So, and they even provided a full model for the... the slinger, the mispack slinger, but they gave me a reverse mispack. So now I have two full models. Instead of just sending the wrong arm, the arm that I was missing, I had the wrong one. They sent me there's like two different bodies and two different sets of arm, and they sent me one of each. So now I have two full slingers.
And Ariel's the game where there's no human faction, right? Everything's animals and not animals, but...
Most creatures.
Creatures, I guess is the best way to put it.
Small, bipedal, dark crystal-like...
That's right.
...thingies. Yes.
Yeah, crystal's such a great way to describe that look.
Yeah. My Devanu faction are all done. I painted them earlier this year. But I was waiting on that slinger to paint them all at the same time. So easier now. I'll be able to paint them and try it before we go to Adepticon. because that was why I worked on that.
Yeah, because you have, like, is it just a game or an event that you're going to there?
Just a game. A game plan with Nick from Skirmish Supremacy.
Okay.
He's another fan of Anario. So, and he's been working on his own stuff on his side. So, we're going to have a small demonstration game.
Oh, speaking of fans. So, my buddy Ben came over this weekend and we were chatting. And he told me this funny story about how one of his friends was looking for some stuff and asked Ben about Ben's miniature connection. And Ben, you know, mentions it's me or whatever. And then somehow the guy put together that Paul, Ben's friend, was Paul from this podcast. And apparently he was, like, all surprised to find out. And apparently he's an avid listener. Because we have those. Yeah, who knows? Who knew?
I didn't.
Yeah, he didn't. First I've heard. So I thought it was pretty funny that one of Ben's friends randomly listens to the podcast and was like, you know, surprised that Ben knew me type thing. So my little bit of internet celebrity.
That's cool.
It's right up there with a couple years ago when someone walked up to me at a con. And was like, are you Paul from that podcast? Like, yeah, that's me. Oh, yeah, I thought I recognized your voice. Like, oh, that's only slightly creepy.
Yeah. At least it didn't come out of our incessant politic talks.
Well, yes, because we're totally a miniature gaming / political podcast.
Yep.
Actually, it would be a good week for it. Just saying. There's been a lot of news this last week and a half or so.
Mm-hmm. But we're going to stop that there. Yeah. So the Renerix models, the Anario, and the last thing, just because it's light, I bought stuff.
Oh.
I ordered the Burrows and Badger rulebook and an handful of miniatures.
Wait a minute. Didn't you ask me about ordering that stuff?
Yep. But in the end, because Osprey had a sale running this week.
Okay.
And the price was good. But I found out that the price on Amazon was similar once you added the shipping from Osprey.
Okay.
So it was a bit cheaper from Amazon if you had the free shipping. I didn't have anything else to order. But then I looked and Old Sworn, which is the, not the publisher of the book, but the creator of the game, and they are the publisher of the minis. Mm-hmm. They do sell the minis on their own site. And they sell the minis, but they also sell the book, the book from Osprey. They have their own stack of it and they sell it. And they have a miniature that goes with it and a special scenario. So I decided, and the price is pretty similar. So I decided to buy it direct from them. They're a small indie company, and just get some more miniatures to go with the order. So I got 5 miniatures in the book and just ordered straight from them in the UK.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's going to help them more than getting it from Osprey through Amazon.
Yeah, no, that's true. Puts money directly in their pocket, right?
Exactly. That was my thought.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
I looked at all the minis, studied a bit of the fluff of the game, and found a team and got some minis that fit that team to do a first Warbind, and we'll see after that.
Antoine the Power Gamer.
I said team. I didn't say power or use. I don't even know if what I got is legal.
Well, you said you read the book, so I was going to call you a power gamer.
No, I didn't read the book. I read some of the information about the fluff part. That's just in some of the previews they've put on the Osprey website. Like what kinds of animal you can play and the 4 major factions. And that's it. That's all I know. I don't know how they cost, how many you can get or whatever. I just liked one of the faction is what they call the Free Beast, which are kind of the Robin Hood / Highwaymen people. The setting is kind of a anthropomorphic medieval England. So I went with the Free Beast. There were cool miniatures that fitted that team, so I decided to go with that. And until I get more, they're going to face my Brushfire Mice Conquistadors.
Oh, good old Brushfire. I was sitting here not an hour ago looking at Hamster Berserkers.
And you could play those in Burrows and Badger.
I could, eh?
Yep. So I think most of your minis would fit into it, too. So you don't have to buy anything, and we'll have a game to use them in.
You know, has anyone ever told you you're evil, Anton?
Multiple times, I think.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, so that was my not exactly hobby buying spread of the week. That was my little birthday gift to myself.
Oh, wait, that's not...
It's in a couple of weeks, but that's the time that it will take for it to come here if the strike doesn't impact too much of the shipping time.
The strike?
Well, last year's strike. But I still have effect. Like, the last package I got from the UK took 8 weeks.
Oh.
It was shipped at the end of November while the strike was at the end, but it just got here this week. They've said that they will have delays until like maybe March for international orders.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised when I got the package from Anerial this week, because I ordered it start of January and I didn't expect it to be here at least for another month.
That is crazy. I knew there was backlogs. I thought that was pretty much over at this point.
I think they had backlogs on their side, and they had backlogs that they didn't share with custom, and I think that's the main problem. Like, the internal backlog is mostly done. It's the international backlog that they need to get all out. And some package might just be like stuck, lost somewhere in a warehouse, and they're going through that stuff once in a while. That might be why my other package took that long to get here. It's here now.
So it's pretty crazy. Okay, well. Yeah.
But that's more books to read, because that was the Moonstone book and a couple of miniatures.
I don't know how you find time. The train ride, I think, is the key.
Yeah, 2 hour of train commute, 3 or 4 days a week, that sure helps having time to read.
So what you're saying is if I want to catch up on all my gaming stuff, I need to start working far away and commute.
No, just stop bringing your phone to the bathroom. That's my other source of reading time.
Yeah, I don't know how you manage that. Maybe it's because my kids are still small. But I can't go to the bathroom without someone banging on the door.
Oh, I go to it when they're asleep.
Fair enough. Then why do you need to bring your phone and hide in the bathroom then to read? Couldn't you just go quickly and come out and read?
There's always other stuff to do, so at least it's an excuse to sit and read.
Okay. Fair enough.
Well, I'm sorry, Matt. There's chores to do, cleaning, food, whatever.
I just ignore most of that stuff, I'll be honest. Yeah. Like, my kids are a little starved, but not bad. It could be worse.
Mm-hmm.
No one's reported me yet, so I guess they don't look too bad.
Don't look starved enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, so... Before I got you, you had or pretty good segue about our gaming. So,
oh yeah, too bad it was like half an hour too early. Yeah, no. So I don't recall what the segue was at this point.
I had worked on Arena X, I think.
Okay, and I came up with some clever way to segue to Arena Rex
or something like that.
Okay, well, since we are speaking about Arena Rex, yeah, so we got a chance to play some games over the weekend.
Yes, finally.
Yeah, finally. So last year at TempleCon, I'd actually been buying Arena Rex models for 2 years.
Yeah, but you had that, I think, for 3 years because we made a big order the year before Adepticon. Like in November for Black Friday or something. So I think we've sat on the models for over 2 years and you had some before that you got at Adepticon.
So when did we go to TempleCon together? It was last year.
When
we talked with Walker and you picked up some models.
Yeah, but we already had models by that point.
Did we?
Yes.
I thought that order came after that. Okay.
No. That order was made in November before that.
Okay. No, and before that November.
The year before that, so.
Yeah. So February 2018, we went to TempleCon. We bought some models. November of 2017, we bought models through their website.
November 2016, we bought the model.
No, really?
Yes.
That year,
went to Adepticon, and that's when you bought stuff for the first time.
No. So, I bought models at my second Adepticon that was not the one that Yom was at. And so I was there with my buddy Ben, and we were both VIGs.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a free model, a free, you know, human-sized model from Arena Rex as part of the VIG bag. And Ben did not want his model because he had no interest at the time in the game. So I used his coupon and mine, and then for every free model I got, I bought a model.
Yeah, I just checked my email backlog, and yeah, we ordered them December 2016.
Okay, well, I'm insane.
we just have stuff, so much stuff that we just forget for how long we've sat on it.
don't mention this to my wife.
No, don't say that. Every time you say that, I think Steve will start to tag her in posts.
I wouldn't put it past him. But anyway, so I got some models then. But I never get a chance to try the game because the booth was always swamped.
Yeah.
But I really liked the model, so it was fine.
And then we made the big order because we all decided to try the game. There was a big sale and said, okay, Paul has some, might as well play it us too. End of 2016, we get the model and nobody does anything with it for a year.
Typical us.
Yeah. So, end of 2017, early 2018, we decided to go to Captain Con, and I painted my starter to play at Captain Con and try the game finally. So, I painted my starter then. Oh,
I didn't know your starter was painted then. Okay.
Yeah. I brought them, and I entered some of them in the painting competition.
Oh, look at that. Okay. Now that you mention it, yeah, okay. I remember you did the guy with the green.
Yes.
He was
Gaius something.
Gaius Cheesius, yes.
Yeah, so I brought them. I didn't get into an event, but we did try the game. I had a demo with Yom, and you watched part of that demo, and after that gave part of a demo.
Well, it's not so much I gave part of the demo as I filled in for Walker. No, I found Walker demoing to people. And God bless them, they were not understanding. Now, Arena Rex, you have to understand, one of the pledges of Arena Rex is that the rule set is simple, but deep enough to be tactically interesting. But it's easy to grasp, right?
Yep.
And these people... where one was a miniature war game designer who had his own game he was selling there. Another person was a War Machine player. So War Machine, a fairly complex game, right? There's a lot of depth there. And for some reason, they could not grasp redirects. So after, you know, about the 15th time of explaining the same thing to people, I just started helping Walker by explaining stuff so that he wouldn't have to, so he could, you know, space out. Because this is after he's given demos all day. This was at night. And he was now set up in the hallway giving demos to these people who just weren't getting how the game worked. And he's far too polite to say anything. So I just kind of took over and helped and walked them through stuff so he wouldn't have to. Poor yep. guy. Yeah,
and but that was your only experience, and that's with air quotes, of the rule side.
Yeah. That was the only thing until that point that I'd done with the game.
And after that, we didn't do anything. I think you assembled some models. Steve cleaned some of his. Yom, I think, assembled some of his too. But that stayed like that until a couple of weeks ago. I decided to paint some terrain and try to motivate you guys to do something, which didn't do much. And then you decided to go to Captain Ken again.
Yeah. And then when I went to sign up to events, because normally I go to these cons and I never do anything. I socialize. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just, I like doing it. That's fine. But this year I decided I was going to play stuff. So I signed up for everything I could find that fit my schedule, you know? And one of those events was Arena Rex event. So that meant I kind of needed to know how to play. And also, I couldn't figure out if the event required painted miniatures or anything. So I figured I'd just err on the side of caution.
Always better.
And, you know, it's err on the side of caution, but it's also err on the side of superior gaming experience.
Yes.
You know, I don't mind playing people who have unpainted miniatures. That's fine. Not everyone has the time and or interest in painting.
No. But for a small skirmish game that require 3 to 5 models.
Like, yeah, I would have felt bad showing up and not having painted stuff.
Yeah.
Especially since to paint just a tabletop level takes me no time at all. Right, I painted 6 models? 5 models?
Yeah, 5 or 6, I don't remember.
In like 2 evenings?
Mm-hmm.
Or less? Two of the models were certainly less because they weren't quite finished, but I painted them in the half hour or so that we spoke that night on a hangout, and then like an hour the next day, and I had them pretty much done. To the point where a quick look at them, you would think they were done.
Yep.
So I was pretty happy about that. And then we get to experience some gameplay.
Yes.
And the game is just as fun as I remember it being from my little not demo.
Yeah, and from my own demo too. And I had memories that it was maybe a bit more complicated from the demo. But having reread the rules, and the night before we played, I did some solo tests on my side to be able to re-show you the rules, because that had been almost a year since we both played. So
yeah, the thing that confuses the most people, I think, is the exhaustion.
Yeah, and that's the only complicated part. The dice mechanic is super simple. Like how you attack and defend, there's nothing to that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an elegant system.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, there's ways to game it, and it may not be perfect. But I find it to be a very well put together, very cinematic. I mean, any game where you can throw people into a pit to kill them, how can you not say that's cinematic? And I'd say I was sorry, Antoine, for doing that to your character, but
Oh, no, I mean, no, that's fine. I put the pit there so that it could happen. So I knew what I was doing.
Now, 2 out of 3 guys died to the pit by me throwing them in there. And the last one died by me throwing him around and him taking damage from it.
Yeah.
It's good times. I really like that game. It's very cinematic, very fun.
It's fast, too.
Yeah, it's about 1 hour a game, I think was what we played.
Well, I think it was even faster than that.
Well, the first game might have been 1 hour. The second game was definitely quicker.
Yeah.
Also, we were playing 3-man cohorts, which is kind of like a smaller game size.
Yes, for sure.
Because I think the full game is 5 models.
Mm-hmm. The rules mention up to 8, but I think 8 is a really big game.
I don't know how that would work. Or rather, I understand how it would work, but I mean, I just don't know if it would work well.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I even had concerns about 5-man games bogging down a bit. And I have to see what the scenarios are like. Because the basic game just kind of turns into I come at you, you come at me. Someone connects first, people start dying.
Yes. Well, I think it's supposed to be like that, though.
Well, yes, but I think the scenario is probably add a little more depth, right?
Beer and Prizzly.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I think if you approach it that way, that's a beer and pretzel game, you'll be very, very happy with it. You know, not everything has to be a super tactical experience.
No.
Though I will say that I feel it is very tactical.
Yes. There are so many options with how you activate, the number of time you activate, your exhaustion, and then all the reactions you can take too.
Favor, like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And the
clear turns where you can activate some of your tactics too. There's really many options. The game is super simple, but you do have a lot of options.
Yeah. Though I think I may have been a bit of an adrenaline junkie with my excessive use of favor dice.
Well, you generated a lot more than me, and I even gave you some during the first game because of your character choice. You had the opportunity to use them.
Yeah, I suppose. They're there for a reason, right?
I was always looking for some. You had ample to spare.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I was usually down to 1 or whatever.
Yeah, but you were throwing 2 or 3 per attack while I was barely scraping to get 1.
Well, this is true. This is true. I may have been abusing my favorite ace.
Yeah, using them. He's just using them. That's fine.
Yeah, what was your favorite part of the game, Antoine? Like, what part of, not necessarily our games, but what part of Arena Rex do you think you like best?
It's probably a toss between action and exhaustion, how that works out. Because, just to go quickly over it, when you activate a model, you can move for free. However, after that, if you want to move again or do an attack, that will give you 1 point of fatigue. And if you do that a second time or transfer your attack to a power attack, that gives you a second level of fatigue. That means your character is now exhausted. But when a model is fatigued, you won't be able to do reaction, fatigue or exhausted. And when a model is exhausted, he's stuck there and won't do anything until you do a clear turn, which happens only when all your models start to be fatigued at the same time. So, at a 3-model game, it was not so bad. But I can see a 5-model game, if you fatigue one of your guy early, exhaust one of your guy early, he's going to be stuck there. So, you really have to think about how much you want to exhaust your guy fast to do a super good attack. But after that, you're stuck there. And an exhausted model is an easy target because the opponent attacking him gets a bunch of bonuses.
Yeah, unless you think you're going to, clear someone off the board. I really don't know if it's worth exhausting most of the time.
No, me neither.
And of course, this is from the guy who spent half the game being exhausted on all his models. But my dice were really, really lucky sometimes.
Yes.
because I was certainly playing very dangerously and in not a recommended manner, I'm sure.
It was a cinematic manner, so that was good.
Yes. Yes. Well, when you can win any match by throwing everyone around until they're dead, that's probably a good match.
Yep.
And we had a good chuckle about that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So it's that and how the reaction works, also combined with how fatigue works, because when you're fatigued or exhausted, you cannot react anymore. So you have to plan. Do I want to go fast and try to connect soon with the enemy? Or in some of the scenarios, start to take control of a zone? But if you do that and fatigue yourself to run there, you're open to the enemy and you cannot react anymore. So it's always a pensez-y bien, I would say in French.
Yeah. You have to think about it a lot.
Yeah.
No, that's very true. I was trying to think what my favorite part is. Yeah, I think really it's the managing the fatigue. That's what really adds the depth to the game, I find.
Yeah.
Because without that, I mean, the game is fun, but there wouldn't be much of a game there. Fatigue really becomes your resource management. But it's like an inverted resource management tool. All right.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts before we move on, Antoine?
Not really. It's really a blast. If you can, I would recommend trying maybe printing some proxies and trying the game. The rules are available online, so you can check them out, and you can try the game.
And they're tiny. The rulebook is...
It's 20 page, I think, with scenarios and everything. And I printed it. It's super spaced and written big. So I printed it in a booklet format and it took nothing.
Yeah, it goes super fast when you start reading it.
Yep. You need to read two or three times to catch how the fatigue and the reaction works. But once you get at least a quick play, or at least a test play.
Yeah, it'll come to you naturally.
It all clicks, right.
Yeah, I think reading it just out of the book, you might think it's a lot more complicated than it is.
Yeah, and I think that's why I had more problem last year when we went for the Captain Con. I read the book like maybe the week before the event, but it was not new. So just trying the game after that, I was mixing up some stuff and
well, I remember
not remembering everything.
I seem to recall you and Yom had a hard time with the fatigue management and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, just being given a demo, you have some explanation, but it probably doesn't catch all at once. But
no, for sure. Yeah.
Reading the rules on my own and trying out the game a couple of times on my own just to... How do you do a clear turn? How do you do an activation? It really made it clear. So when we got our game together, it wasn't hard to explain. And you were playing, so you didn't just get theory in your mind. You were doing it at the same time with me, so it became clear to you too.
Yeah. Oops.
So... Really great game. Do you have a final thought on Arena X?
I wish we tried it sooner.
Yes, me too.
I really think that it should be people's, you know, second game. Because you could take it to gaming night, you know, play your big game of War Machine or whatever, and then you got 45 minutes left. You could pull out a 3-model game of Arena X and play that in less than that 45 minutes.
Yeah, so that was my thought. Sometimes you don't have time for your main game, a second game of it, because you don't have another 2 hours, but 45 minutes for a Game Boy MX. That's easy. And you only need to have three more models in your bag. That's nothing.
Well, this is it, right? It's not demanding.
Nope.
You know, I will say the game is not necessarily cheap because the models are resin and they're large.
Yeah, they're on the largest, like they're 35 mil probably, 35.
Yeah.
To maybe even 40 mil.
Or in GW terms, heroic 32 mil.
Yeah.
I'm sort of proud of myself for that, saying that. Yeah, so the models are about $25 Canadian a piece for an average size model, going up from there. So not cheap,
no.
But not the worst, not the most expensive thing I've ever played either. So
and the starter are a great deal because I think
the
starters almost save one of the models price.
And the thing is, some of the models in the starter are not really available by themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's true too. So
like in my starter, which I didn't get. Because my models were free because of the promo I had. Oops, I just hit my mic. That's going to be bad. So I didn't get my starter, so I actually don't have one of the models. And nor will I ever be able to get it unless I buy a starter and duplicate, you know, two of the three models.
Or maybe try to
contact Walker,
arrange something to, with
yeah.
the Red Republic game themselves.
Exactly. That's my next thought. We shall have to see. Sorry, I'm actually painting something even though I said I wouldn't be.
Oh.
I found a piece of palette paper. It's not wet palette paper, but like regular palette paper. And so I'm blacklining some Space Marine Centurions I found kicking around in a bin that were half painted. Can't imagine that. Half-painted models in my house. Who would have thunk it?
No idea. I wouldn't have had that idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm sure you're shocked.
We go through some news item and then we call that a show?
That sounds good. So hit me up with the news, buddy. What you got?
Okay. I have two this week. First one by Blacksmith Miniature, it's the Red Cap. So this is a 54 millimeter scale, 54 millimeter miniature of a Leprechaun Executioner.
A Leprechaun Executioner.
Leprechaun, yeah. He is so cool. It's a mix of with the big red pointy hat. He looks like one of the forest gnomes, like David the Gnome, maybe. But with
like a garden gnome?
Yeah, kind of. But with the cap going lower on his face, so mixed with an executioner hood, but cap version.
Jeez. Hold on, I gotta go take a look at this guy.
You have to.
I had planned to have it all open before you got there, but I was blacklining furiously trying to get this done.
He's been sculpted by Valentin Zach, which is one of the Ironrex sculptor.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know that name. Okay.
So while you do that, sucker. I can mention the price. He is 25 euros.
What scale? 32 mil?
54. But it's a Leprechaun, so he's probably smaller for that scale. So I don't have a real height.
That's true. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. Ain't gonna lie. He's what I would call a worthwhile investment.
And it's not that costly too, so.
No, I think it's very reasonably priced for what he is. Even figuring he'll be smaller scale because he's a leprechaun.
Mm-hmm.
I still think there's some potential there.
Yeah, for sure. So, nice mini. First one I wanted to mention. The second one is going to be fast. It's some magic mushrooms by maxmini.eu. So this is just a pack of random mushrooms. You have 9 in a pack. Some of those have faces. The other are just strange. They are pretty cool. They're all differently sculpted, different kinds of mushroom. A couple of them have personality, even with the faces sculpted in them. Just a nice accessory pack to add to maybe some of the new gets, the new goblins.
I was thinking the new goblins,
Game Workshop for Age of Sigmar. It would fit for Moonstone, I find, with that whimsical style. Could fit for Relic Blade, would fit for a bunch of the smaller skirmish games. So, interesting pack, I find. 9 pieces for €7, so affordable.
Yeah, kind of hard to go wrong at that price, right?
Yep.
And really, totally aimed at like a stylized game. And I can totally see those running on the Gitz army, like you said. Like to put on the bases or whatever to like mm-hmm. add some character to the models.
Yeah, spruce up base, add to terrain, maybe use that as counters for, I don't know if they add that back in the days, the Night Goblins add, you could take mushrooms as items for your power dice. So I don't know if that still exists, but those could be your counters, the mushroom counters.
That would be kind of cool.
So many options.
I don't know if that exists anymore either. I haven't followed Age of Sigmar.
Yeah. So I use as rerolls for a Night Goblin Blood Bowl teams. So use that instead of the cardboard counters.
You're just full of good ideas.
Yeah. So that's it. That was the second piece I wanted to talk about, and that covers it.
Well, that's a short news show for you, a short news segment.
Well, we try to keep it short now that we're back to the main show. I don't want to go through a list of 10 items.
Yeah, no. But usually you've got
a little bit more than just that. I go for 2, maybe 3, so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's not supposed to be a criticism, Antoine.
No.
I mean, we were due for a break from the news shows. We did those news shows a long time.
Yeah.
And it was grueling work for to get the info. Because sadly, there's not a good one-stop shop for all your miniature news.
There's one. I really need to shout out a couple of places. Might as well, because I use them so much. First, there's the Facebook group. This one is more for the bigger models, like more of the painter style models. So if you look for the group, it's called New Miniatures Announcements. It's good for any scale, but it's mostly bigger scale stuff. You would say like the Leprechaun, other PC high level painters would like, but everything is there. There's other gaming pieces there too. The second one is Tabletop Fix. If you look for ttfix.blogspot.com, they do a daily recap of everything they can find about miniature releases, Kickstarter miniature Kickstarters, everything, and they have pictures of every of their entry. They have 10, 20 entry per days at least, something like that. So there is a lot of information on that blog. It's really worth taking a look. If you want to follow miniatures but don't have time to go through every publisher, they recap a lot of it.
Yeah, no, they do a great job. I won't lie. That's one of the places I usually go to just to keep up with what's going on.
Another I sometimes go is the Beast of Wars. I don't remember their new name, Tabletop something.
On Tabletop?
Yeah, On Tabletop, but just their news section. So Beast of Wars.com/news. And they have similar news to Tabletop Fix, but some are exclusive to them. So once in a while it's worth, but they don't have as many. They do have more information in them. The Tabletop Fix, it's mostly just the
press release style,
the name and the picture and the link, and that's it. While on Tabletop, we'll have the press release information and some comments from the author and the blog author and stuff like that. So it's a different style. You'll have less information, but there's going to be less entries, but more information for each. Tabletop Fix, it's really pure number. You're going to see almost everything there. So those are my social.
Easy to get lost in that rabbit hole.
I'll link to all three in the show notes if people want to find them easily. Those are three good places to look for.
Yeah, I haven't been on Tabletop in forever. I actually sponsor them. So every month I send them money.
You still do?
Yep. Every month I get a bill. And I'm like, oh yeah, I should either start going
cancel
there.
Cancel that or use it.
Yeah, or cancel. Yeah, exactly. And then I never do either, though. Because I suck. It's not even that cheap anymore, right? Because of the weaker Canadian dollar?
No, it's pretty not cheap.
Well, it's like $6 Canadian or something a month. Let's just take it right out of my PayPal.
That's about it.
I love Warren and those guys. All right. Well, but yeah, I guess that's another week.
It is.
It's been a pleasure as always.
Yes. Always fun to record.
Yeah.
Always fun to chat.
Yeah, it totally is. It's a bit late here, but I'm going to go eat some supper now.
Yeah. You really should have eaten before.
Yeah, we would have been recording till midnight then, so that's okay. I'll just have myself a little bedtime steak.
A steak.
Anyway, I'll catch you next week, Antoine.
Yep, catch you another time, and bye, geeks!
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Rolling Dice and Taking Names, a podcast by guys who have a passion for tabletop games and happen to have mics. They discuss all forms of tabletop gaming, from board games to miniatures to RPGs. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.